Amen. Good to be in this house to see each one of you this morning. Amen. It's a busy, busy time, busy season for some. Us guys, we probably can't claim that. Let's find another excuse. But God's good, isn't He? Amen. Let me get a little slack in this cord where it won't be roughing up your ears. But appreciate Brother Donnie and each one of you. If you got your Bible, look into 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles 4. We'll see some things in God's Word that maybe if the Lord would allow us to preach on the subject of prayer, we'd find something of interest here in this passage. Just to preface before we read the text, while you're finding it there, we'll say a few things about this because I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what prayer is and how prayer is performed. And what happens is this ecclesiastical age turns it into so many times leadership, not always leadership, but sometimes just by what people have gathered, watching as they grew up, they feel like prayer is something, it's a form. And it's a ritual and a rite and something you do because you're supposed to do it. But that's not what prayer is. Prayer is simply broken down into communication with God. That's all it is. And so we see this in the Word. We find it where Jesus prayed. Sometimes He prayed long prayers. And He prayed a long prayer. If you remember the 17th chapter of the book of John, you can look at this. The whole 26 verses of that chapter is Jesus praying.
Amen.
And so that was a lot of prayer, long prayer. But of course, if you took and you read what Jesus prayed, it wouldn't have took a long time to read it. But it looks like a lot of praying on the page, don't it? And so, you know, what we find is in the business of our scheduling day, there's always still plenty of time for prayer. Because even a long prayer, as we would say that John 17 is not a long prayer. You could read the prayer of John 17 probably in a minute and a half if you'd read like I do. Well, if you read like some of these smart folks, you'd get there, you know, with probably less than a minute. Brother Larry can understand that. We can relate, can't we? We're the minute and a half folks. And so here we find it that sometimes it's we lose sight of what God wants when we come to Him in prayer. Amen. So while you got your place, let's look at 1 Chronicles 4:10. And we read about a man by the name of Jabez. Now, in this chronological going through that 1 Chronicles is doing, matter of fact, I think you'll find the first several chapters, I want to say from memory, it could be wrong, but I think the first 8 or 9 chapters is genealogy. And so we see this here. He's watching over in chapter 5. He's talking about the lineage of Reuben and the sons of Levi. And so it goes for several chapters. But there is a setting apart right here in this fourth chapter where the Word, God takes time of whoever penned 1 Chronicles. Well, He takes time here and says something. You know, in chapter 3 is about the family of David. And then, of course, we find it the posterity of Judah's in chapter 4, but there's some reason that God instilled in the 10th verse, the 9th verse and 10th verse is where we're going to begin reading here. God took this instance and set it aside in His Word, and He said something here about Jabez. Now watch this. So in this genealogy, as he goes through, he stops, the writer stops, and he changes the subject, and the subject is, we want you to know that Jabez believed in prayer. Amen. And the Word said that he called on the God of Israel, saying, he called on the God of Israel. There's only one God that we serve today. It's the God of Israel.
Yes, right.
It's the God of Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
The God of Jacob.
Yes.
And so here in verse 9, let's say something about this man's character. The word said, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And he called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. That's a very personal prayer.
Yeah.
When you say bless me indeed, that means, God, I want something from you, and I want it now, and I want it specifically indeed for me.
Amen.
And so he brings his petition to the Lord. And the word said he wanted God to bless him, not only to bless him, and to enlarge my coast. What's he talking about? The coast, that word in the Greek and the Hebrew means borders. Enlarge my borders. What's that mean? The territory, the land, God, that you would give me. I love this, how that when God divided the land of Israel among those 12 tribes, actually, it was 11 sons of Jacob. And we know that Levi, God was their inheritance. And so they inherited the ministry of offering and worship and sacrifice. That's what God gave them. And God made provision for them now. He didn't leave them out there in the cold. Because those millions upon millions of Jews were bringing offerings to the Lord. And you know who was receiving them? The Levites. And they were partaking of what God was giving them. And so it wasn't like they got left out, but they had no land. Amen. They didn't have any land of inheritance, but they had the gift of ministry that God gave them, and they lived from that. And so here is God is separating the land to the tribes, and we know that Joshua did that, and we find it that two tribes stayed on the other side, Jordan, and the 10 tribes went across. And so here all those borders were determined, and you can still find those on Bible maps today, where each one had their portion. And here what Jabez is praying is, he's praying that God will increase his portion.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. God can expand us. It may be a bad time to talk about expanding right now. You know, it's the busy eating season, but that ain't the kind of expanding I'm talking about. Don't get a complex now. I'm talking about the borders. God can expand us spiritually.
Yeah.
He can expand us financially, physically, however he wants to do that.
Yeah.
God can. And Jabez knew that. And you know why he prayed with confidence? Because he believed with confidence. If you don't believe what you're praying, then you're praying all wrong.
Man.
Jesus taught like this. And so when we believe, and here the word said he called on God and he said, Lord, I want you to bless me, enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me. Never one time did Jabez want to be separated from God.
No,
he's not praying, give me a big Cadillac and a pocket full of money. That's not what he's wanting. It's not for greed or gain.
No.
He's wanting God's blessings where he could be a blessing.
Yeah.
I think that people sometimes receive of this world's goods and it goes to naught, don't you? But I also think there are people that receive of God's goods and it goes for that blesses God.
Yeah.
And Jabez's prayer, you know, this is where sometimes people lose it. They lose it in the motive of their prayer. What do you want that for? That's what we'd ask our kids. And so if they come up and say, hey, Daddy, give me $1,000. Well, number one, I probably ain't going to do that. But number two, what's the second thing we'd say? What you want it for?
Yeah.
That's what God said. He knows our, and he don't have to ask, does he? He knows what's in man. Remember that phrase?
Yeah.
Jesus needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew, John's Gospel, what was in man.
There you go.
He knows our motives before we voice them. And He knows our motives if we don't voice them. Sometimes we wouldn't dare voice them out of... We know they're not pure. We know their motives. The motives are... wouldn't honor God. And He knows that before we ever get ready to pray, doesn't He? But Jabez said, God, he said, I want you to bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, that your hand might be with me. They wanted God's blessings on him before he went. That's why they would take the apostles and lay hands on them and send them forth. They were sent, and they went out, and they preached that men should repent.
Amen.
We see that in Mark 6:12.
Yes.
They went out. What happened? Those men that Jesus called, they went out and preached that men should repent.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted God's blessings. They wanted His safety. And so we see this here. He's praying that thine hand might be with me. Church, we can handle whatever comes along if God's with us.
Yes, amen.
Whatever we hear from the doctor, whatever we hear from the bank, whatever we hear from the lawyer's office, whatever that is, whatever happens, if God's with us, then He'll sustain us.
Amen.
And this is Jabez's prayer. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. But watch now. That thy hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me. He wasn't praying for his brother, was he?
No.
He said, God, keep me from evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Men and women that think they're not susceptible to evil are prime candidates
right.
to fall into evil.
Yeah.
Jabez understood. He understood the flesh is weak. Jesus said that, didn't he?
Yeah,
he said, watch and pray, watch and pray. And so we know it was the night before that Christ was taken. And he said, watch and pray. Why? Because the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And so Jabez understood that. And he said, God, I got some problems with the old man. And I want you to keep me from evil.
There you go.
Now, people that will confess, not necessarily to the crowd, you don't need a hot mic of confession, but people that will confess to God, Lord, I know my weaknesses, I know my failures, I know my shortcomings, I know all of those. And that's what Jabez is saying. See, he don't have a hot mic. He just has a line of communication to God, and his prayer was so important, God recorded it in His Word. And he said, bless me indeed, and keep me from evil.
Wow.
He said, I go to bed with Jabez, and I get up with Jabez, and I know Jabez has needs.
Amen.
And people that don't acknowledge that, have a lack of understanding, don't they?
Yes, sir.
See, we have to know. It's much like the saying, we have found the enemy and he is us.
Yes, there you go.
Right? It's not my brother, not my sister, not my mama, oh Lord. It's me standing in the need of prayer. That's why Jabez is praying. He understands he needs prayer. You know, if people outside, maybe somebody watching this broadcast, that would think, you know, if I get my life straightened out, I'll come back to church. If I get my life straightened out, I'll start going to church. If something miraculous happens, you know, if God drops an asteroid on my house, I'll take that as a sign. No, all of those things, that's human thinking and human evaluating. And Jabez understood one thing, and this is where the cry of our heart should be, and their heart should be outside.
Amen.
That want God, no doubt, God draws people. We know God draws people. And He uses different things to draw them in. But some of those won't come. Some will come later. Some will never come. But if they would just get where Jabez was and understand one thing, he understood that Jabez was weak, and he said, I want you, God, to keep me from me.
Yeah.
To keep me from it.
Yeah.
Many pits, many snares, I think about the psalm talking about the bird and the snare of the fowler. You know, we're much like the bird that's very prone to fall into the trap. But for God, and that's what Jabez said, but for God, only God can keep me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Why come? That it may not grieve me.
Yeah.
Now note the quotation there of an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's saying that with some Yeah, he ain't just whispering that one under his breath. He knows that he has needs. We say he's right with God, no doubt. Men that are right with God understand they have needs.
Yeah.
If they don't, let's just. I mean, that has to go hand in hand.
Amen.
Because otherwise we would be proud-hearted and we would be lifted up in our own minds and we would fall in the category of a heretic if we didn't understand. So anyone, Paul understood that the biggest enemy that he was ever going to face was going to be Paul.
Yeah.
He knew that. That's why he prayed that way.
Amen.
Why Jabez is doing it.
Yeah.
And so we have found the enemy and he is us. And this is what I see. Jabez's prayer, church, is not a prayer of boasting or bragging.
No.
Remember the prayer of two men went to the temple to pray. One was a publican, one was a Pharisee.
Oh, yes.
And that Pharisee said, Lord, I want to just start off by thanking you that I'm not as other men are. That was a nice start, wasn't it? I mean, he was hot out the gate. First thing I want to thank you for, God, is you made me special and I'm not like everybody else. Pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall.
There you go.
And so here, two men went to the temple to pray. Remember what he said? He said, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I have. And I want to thank you, God, for all of that. Not only so, I want to thank you that I'm not like this little publican fellow over here that made a mess out of his life. Now I ought to get down there and imitate it, but I don't need to. That old publican wouldn't even look up.
No.
Wouldn't even look up. Smote his breast and said, God! Four words.
Yeah.
Be merciful to me, a sinner. Maybe that's five words. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, this man went down to his house more justified than the other. See, Jabez realized, my prayer is not God straighten out my neighbor. Now, my prayer is not fix them folks down at the bank. And while you're at it, fix them folks over at the magistrate's office. And fix them folks, you know, down over here. And fix those folks at the church. That wasn't Jabez's prayer.
No.
His prayer was, God fix me.
Yes.
And not only fix me, but when you fix me, keep me. Because that's another full-time job.
That's right.
People say, I got right with God, but every day is a new day. Is it not? The battle goes on, church. And when we get saved by the marvelous grace of God, we've got a new liver. We got a new liver. Brother John Burt's always talked about the liver on the inside. And so what is it? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And there may be days that we go to bed thinking, I didn't represent Christ very well today. And other days we may feel like we had a better day. But every day is a brand new challenge. And that's what he understands. And that's why Jabez is praying with exclamation points. I'm going to tell you, I think he might have got a little loud right here. And he said, God, I want you to bless me and keep me and enlarge me and keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.
Amen. Good.
Anyone that feels like they're not subject to Satan's trap is deceiving himself. Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. Never do it. Never do. But then we read a few verses down where the Word said he went out and wept bitterly. You know what I hear in that? I'm proud he went and wept. I'm worried about folks when sin don't bother them. I'm not so worried about those that it does. Because if Christ truly lives on the inside, you can't tell. Well, I understand people get numb to it and people get, they put it out of the back of their minds. But it still speaks. And how does God do it? The still. Elijah heard the still, small voice. And it caused him to quake. He heard it. And Jabez, in this whole thing, right here in the middle of this genealogy chapter, God pointed out something about a man in two verses that today, to this day, is referenced. You've heard them talk about it. You've heard people have Bible studies on it. You've heard people preach it. And you hear it on Christian radio. And songs have been wrote about it and sung about it. And it's the prayer of Jabez.
Yeah.
The very thing we're reading right now. A very popular prayer. But if we got the meat of it and we applied it to our heart, do you know how much that will change us? You said, "Preacher, I got part of it. There's some parts I'm a little weak in. I want to get better at it." Well, that's a good time to do it. And so here, he prayed, "God, keep me from evil that it may not grieve him." Now, that's a prayer God's guaranteed to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, well, listen, we got a promise that if we ask anything according to His will, John 14:14, Jesus said, if you ask anything, get this, church, this is huge, you don't want to miss this one. If you ask anything according to my will, I will do it.
Yeah.
That's a guaranteed promise. You can't go to the lawyer's office and get a better promise than that. You can't go before the judge and get a better ruling than that. And so here, if you ask anything according to my will, if you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, John 14:14, I will do it. And so he goes on talking about prayer. He talks about those. And here we see it in Jabez's prayer. Look at the last phrase here. And God granted him. God granted him that which he requested. So the order was filled. There's a lot of orders going in right now in this busy time of giving. And people will know, "Well, what would you like?" And other people say, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to get them." And so it's, you know, the children are thinking about what they like. And, you know, all the things that's going to go on with this time of year is a very busy time. And so God said that he granted to Jabez that he requested. Now, we know what that feels like. When a little kid gets on Christmas morning and there's that brand new bike, or there's that brand new doll, or there's that brand new whatever it is, and they know, even some of you here today that remember all of those times from your childhood past, we don't forget about that, do we? And so because there was so much excitement, that's kind of stamped in our brain, and we don't forget that, and neither does God forget that, and the Word said that he gave him that he requested.
Amen.
Now, they don't say any more else about Jabez.
That's true.
But I bet Jabez left with a shouting fit. Don't you?
Amen.
That's the last thing. Two verses, 9 and 10, that God takes out and talks about a man that understood something about prayer.
Amen.
And then he goes right back to the genealogy. You know what it says? It says that Jabez had made such an impact on the writer. We don't know who the writer is. We know who the author is.
That's right.
God's the author. But the writer was so impacted by the life of Jabez and the prayer of Jabez. Maybe he heard the prayer of Jabez. Maybe the prayer of Jabez got out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he went down to the house of God and prayed, or his favorite place where he'd go get before the Lord. He had a homemade altar. We don't know. But when he prayed, somebody heard it. Somebody recorded it. God kept it. And it's preached all over America today.
That's right.
Isn't that a blessing?
Hallelujah. Yes.
And we wonder, can God take the little things? That probably seemed like a regular old small little prayer for Jabez. Didn't take 15 seconds to say it. You know, we think, oh, prayers have to be long, do they? Jesus didn't always pray long. I was going to say something about that earlier. He didn't always pray long. On the cross, he prayed short prayer. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But it's powerful. Prayer doesn't have to be long to be powerful, does it? Go forward a little bit to Philippians, the 4th chapter. Let's see something here quickly. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Read just a couple verses right here and we're going to close up. But watch this. Verse 4 said, "Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Kids sing that song better than we do. Yeah, they got some fine versions of that. I think they're better at rejoicing than we are, don't you? They'll get giddy over just a little something. And we got a lot to get giddy about. Amen. We ought to get excited about this gospel that we say we love and believe. Amen. And so rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. All men, the Lord is at hand. Watch verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, so here we have a New Testament example of how to put a prayer up. How to put a prayer up, and not just how to put it up, but how to believe it when we pray it. Listen, this is the key component. You can say, I prayed, preacher. But I'm going to tell you, we've got to grab a hold of this thing of faith, church. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Amen.
Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, set the stage right there in the early verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And so this is what he's talking about right here. First of all, we got to know who's answering prayer. The peace of God that passeth all understanding is going to keep your hearts and minds.
Right.
If we don't have the peace of God in our heart, then we're behind the eight ball already, aren't we? We've got to get that fixed first before we go back to this prayer thing. Because praying without the peace of God in your heart is not going to be effective.
No.
Spinning your wheels. Wasting your time without the peace of God.
Amen.
Yeah, I didn't know the peace of God until I got saved. I think we'd all say the same thing, be in agreement with that. Because there is no peace of God without a saving relationship with Christ. So here, quickly, watch now. Be careful for nothing. Verse 7, and the peace of God shall, which passeth all understanding, is going to keep you. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things true, honest, just, pure, lovely, if shortened up for the sake of time, and of good report, if there be any virtue,
yeah,
if there be any praise, think on these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think on these things. But I want you to see, there was one thing I want to focus on real quick. Be careful for nothing, verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What do you need? What's God ringing your heart's door about this morning? What is it that you need that you don't have, that you haven't prayed about? We want our children to come in. Are we praying for? We want our family, our lost ones to come in. Are we praying for them? We got things we need physically. We got things we need spiritually. We got things we need that others don't even know anything about. Are you bringing it to God in prayer? Be careful. That means worried about nothing. Be careful for nothing. And so when we bring it to prayer, what we find is we find that God hears it and receives it. And we should be lifted of that burden. Why? Because by faith we give it to Him. Isn't that right? That's why we go to God in prayer. Bring your burdens to the Lord, the old song said, and do what with them? Leave them there. Just leave them there. That's a good feeling, isn't it?
Amen.
Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen. Let's stand together across the building. I want to ask you, Miss Emily comes to the piano, what are you holding on to that you should have gave to God? What's dragging you down? What's beating you up? What's that thing out there that you said, preacher, I'm never going to get into that again, but you do? And God says, I want to deliver you from that. I want to give you victory over that. I want to instill power with you. How so? By the Spirit of prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask you this. What is it that the Lord would like to have from you that you're just not willing to give Him? Preacher, I'm holding out. I'm holding out. I'm somewhat committed, but I'm not committed. I love the Lord, but I just don't know if I can trust Him with everything. Jabez did. Worked out mighty good for him, church. God penned it and put it in His Word. He said, preacher, I don't know fancy prayers. I don't know big words. I don't even know how to put my little words together. How can I pray? You bring it to the Lord and leave it there. We're not going back and trying to refix what we couldn't fix to start with. We're giving it to God. We're asking Him to fix it. Him to do it. Leaving it there. Amen. Jabez prayed with confidence. He prayed with power. He knew one thing. If there was any help to be had, God had to do it. Don't you feel like that? Don't you feel like when you pray, you want God to hear it? If I want God to hear it, I have to do things. I've got to pray according to His will, and I have to believe Him for what I ask Him. And that's the church. We have to believe God for the things we ask Him. We pray in faith. We walk by faith. We're saved by faith. And so when we bring it to God, you say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know if He will, if He'll hear it, if He won't hear it. Well, He won't hear it if you don't ask Him. But if you ask Him by faith, you believe by faith. If we ask, watch this, I'm going to quote it one more time because it's a powerful verse. If we ask anything according to His will. I'm going to tell you, church, that's got a guarantee that goes with it right there. If we ask anything, now watch this. Your children being saved is God's will. Your neighbor being saved is God's will. Sick people being healed is God's will. And so we can ask Him by faith to bless our country, to bless our leadership, to send revival. Those things we can ask God for by faith.
Thank you.
And not only can we ask Him, we can believe Him. And you know the last part that goes with successful prayer is expectation. Now I'm going to say something about one last passage in Acts chapter 3. That man that was laying from his mother's womb. The Word of God said this. We got to get this one, church. You know what's wrong? You know what's wrong is we lose our expectations. We say God will do it for him or her tomorrow.
feet. That lame man looked up at Peter and John, and the Word said he was expecting to receive something of them.
Yes, yes.
Expectation.
Yes.
When we expect God, when we believe God, we receive God. Say, Mama, I want. Mama, I want. Mama, I want. And it's perfectly healthy what they want. And you've got it, but you just won't give it to them. You said, Preacher, that makes no sense. Well, it makes less sense than what we say about God.
Because God is saying, I'm going to give you a good thing.
Right. He said, Preacher, I'm going to start praying for my family and praying different. I'm going to pray like I believe. It'll get the job done, church.
You know why? Because we come back to him tomorrow and say, Lord, your word said. Woo! Your word said, God. You said it in your word. I'm reading it right here to you. Lord, you said it in his word, and you're never going to make him mad.
By reminding him of his word. Father, grant it today. Holy Ghost, put your hand on hearts and encourage us to believe. God, give us faith. Increase our faith, Father. Lord, it's the thing that holds us back. It's a lack of faith. Jesus walked by faith, saved by faith, went to the cross by faith, and got up by faith. God, it's all He requires that we believe in. Do it in Jesus' name. We'll praise you. Amen.
Thank you, brother.